Hello, hello, everyone. Welcome, blessings. Amanda Grace here with you this evening. We are live. There is the date, May 22nd, 2024. Welcome to all of you jumping in. I actually saw people from South Africa and New Zealand in the chat. Also, North Carolina, Alabama, Arkansas, Mississippi, Virginia. Hello, hello, Wisconsin, Baltimore, Maryland. Welcome to our friends on the East Coast. Phoenix, Arizona, also. Hello, hello, Indiana. So many of you jumping in right now. I'm kind of just, oh, Scotland. Hello to our friends in Scotland. New Jersey. Hello to our neighbors in New Jersey. I saw a few New Yorks in there as well. I saw someone from Poughkeepsie, New York. That's not far from us. So welcome, welcome, welcome to those of you jumping in the United States and around the world. We're very happy to have you with us tonight. And to our moderators and Ark of Grace team, thank you for helping us do what we do for the Lord. I'm just watching the chat as I'm talking to see you. Oh, Dublin, Ireland. Hello, hello. Welcome to our friends in Dublin, Ireland. Wow. We got people coming in from all over. Yep, happy second Passover. This is the second Passover. It started last night at sundown, and it ends tonight, actually, at sundown. And the second Passover, Chag Sameach, to our Jewish brothers and sisters who are celebrating the second Passover. And that was in Leviticus made, I believe it was in Leviticus, for those who were unclean during the first Passover so they could still celebrate Passover. So there is a fun biblical fact for you. Okay, we have a prophetic mystery to get into. But first, I'm going to open up in prayer. We do have some announcements, and we're going to get into this because I think you're going to find this fascinating because it goes way back, but it has gone through, it appears to be the generations, and it really applies right now to what is happening in 2024. So I have been working on this with the Lord for a few days now, and we're going to unpack this prophetic mystery together. It's the prophetic mystery of the two goats. And this is a warning also for the nation. So hello to the those of you that are just jumping in right now. Welcome, welcome, welcome. We're going to open up in prayer. And then we're going to get into tonight. So, Father God, in the precious name of your Son, Jesus Christ, Yeshua HaMashiach, we come before you. We praise you, you are Almighty God. You are high and lifted up far above every power, principality, and might. Lord, we humble ourselves before you this day, asking you to forgive us of our sins. Cleanse us of all unrighteousness, Father. We all fall so, so short of your glory, Lord. We praise you, your mercies are new every single day. Lord, we acknowledge before your throne that you sent your Son, Jesus Christ, Yeshua, to the earth, and the Word became flesh and dwelt among us. He was the Passover lamb, the sacrifice for our sins. He willingly died at Calvary and purchased us by the shedding of his own blood. He redeemed us. He reconciled us back to you. He miraculously rose again in 3 days. And after appearing to many, he ascended back into heaven, took his rightful victorious place at the right hand of the Father, where Jesus Christ rules and reigns forevermore. He is our advocate without ceasing before your throne, and we honor that before you this day. Father, in the name of Jesus Christ, we invite your presence, the presence of Ruach Elohim, the Spirit of the living God, and the presence of the Ruach HaKadosh, the Holy Spirit, to fill this place, Lord. Lord, that your power would go forth tonight, Lord. Father, let your power, Father God, saturate the atmosphere. Let your glory mightily go forth. Let the Holy Spirit, the Ruach HaKadosh, the counselor, go forth, Father God, Lord, and minister to those who are watching. Father, fill us this night in Jesus' name with your wisdom, counsel, might, power, and the reverential fear of the Lord. Order our steps, Lord, for the steps of the righteous are indeed ordered of the Lord. Lead me, Lord, in your wisdom tonight, in your counsel as we go forth. By the power of the blood of Jesus Christ, by the Spirit of the one true living God, may only the truth and power of Almighty God with authority now come forth, Lord, in Jesus' name. Father, we just ask, Lord, for a hedge of protection around this broadcast, that your holy angels in Jesus' name, we ask, would be dispatched of all offices, rankings, and divisions, Father, to surround and protect, to encamp around and about us, Father God, and this property, Lord, as well as we go forth. Father, take all the glory for yourself. You are the potter. We are most certainly just the clay. You are the author and finisher of our faith. Without your breath of life in us, Lord, we are the dust of the earth, Father. And Lord, we just ask, Father God, in Jesus' name, that your name would be glorified above all, Lord, as we go forth in you. Father, help us to be living letters read by all men. In Jesus' name, Yeshua, amen and amen. Amen, amen. Welcome to those who are jumping on. We just finished prayer. We have a few announcements, and then we're going to unpack this prophetic mystery of the two goats and this year and the nation. So this is a warning to the nation as well. I think you're going to find this fascinating. So, because I don't think anyone's talking about this right now. So I think as we unpack this, there probably will be more revelation and insight that comes forth. So announcements. Well, we're going to do animal photos first, because you all love animal photos. There is our newest, littlest resident at Ark of Grace, little Esther, who came on emergency over the weekend to Ark of Grace. She was found in a heating duct. I'm not even kidding you. She is 3 weeks old. We took her to the vet. The vet has determined she is 3 weeks old. She is just precious, and praise God, she actually, even though she's a little underweight, she's in good health. We have been taking good care of her. We have begun to transition her from the bottle just a little bit to wet kitten food, and we kind of moisten that with water for her. But she's so tiny. She's tiny but mighty, and I bought her that bed. So that's a cute little round. It's just so fluffy, and what they did is they put a heating pad under it on low, so it feels like mama's belly. So basically, it's warm like mama. So we're trying to, you know, satisfy some of those conditions. And so we have her quarantined in the bathroom right now, in one of our bathrooms, because a bathroom is one of the safest places for a kitten. There is not much for them to get into there on the floor. So she is in quarantine for the next couple of weeks. Missy and Cyrus are salivating to meet her. I can't even tell you, like, Missy, it looks distraught because we just won't let her have the kitten and mother the kitten and clean the kitten. And Cyrus is just like, he's just mesmerized by how tiny she is. So they can't really see her. They know she's in there, though, until, you know, about 2 weeks from now. And then we can start doing introductions and supervised introductions and things of that nature. So Missy and Cyrus today got groomed. They went to the groomers. They got their spa day. They are so nice and fluffy. Missy's got a sunflower bandana on. And so they absolutely look great. The groomer does an amazing job. And Cyrus basically got his undercoat brushed out. And let me tell you, you could probably make another small dog out of Cyrus's undercoat alone. There's Noah. Noah was just very much enjoying his food and his snack, and he got it all over his face. He is in his custom dwelling that our team built for him. And he does get outside time now too, that it's warmer, but Noah very much loves his snacks. He loves his meals, and he doesn't mind if it gets all over his face. And there's Duchess having her outside time, enjoying the sun today. Two fun facts about pigs. Pigs don't like to be cold. And pigs don't have any sweat glands. So this is why they take mud baths. This is why they try to wet themselves in kiddie pools. And we put kiddie pools out for them, because that is how they keep themselves cool. So this was today, I believe, or it was either yesterday or today, that Duchess was out sunbathing. Oh, and there's Prince. We have a wonderful news to report about Prince. Prince went to the animal hospital today. Our team took him to have surgery. Prince basically developed a dental disease that older horses can get in his molars, in his back molars. Yes. So he basically developed this, and the surgeon decided that in order to keep Prince comfortable and out of pain, that these teeth had to come out. So Prince went for surgery today to take those teeth out. I will tell you how much it costs to take a horse's teeth out like this and give him surgery, because the bill was about $4,000 in order to get Prince out of pain and deal with this dental disease and help him. And praise God, we were able to do that. So it's wonderful that we're able to do that for him. But he had a very successful surgery today, and we will keep you updated. Okay, there are the animal pics and updates. I know, dang and ouch. Yes, 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 yes. Horses can be very expensive. Let's just put it that way, as far, not as the with hay and things like that, but as far as like medical care, because they're so much bigger and require so much more when it comes to anesthesia, medications, things of that nature, overnight care. You know, it basically, that's why it goes as much as it does to get him the surgery that he got. But praise God, we were able to get it for him, and he's going to be a very happy boy now. Okay, George Magazine event coming up in August. So, George Magazine Live will be at Hot Springs, Arkansas, I believe. Yep. And it is August 10th and 11th. And so I was thinking for a second, because my birthday is very close to that. My birthday is August 19th. So when I heard August for a minute, I thought to my birthday for a minute to see how many days between the event and my birthday. It's about 8 days apart, and it is going to be at the Hot Springs Convention Center. You can use promo code GRACE for 15% off your tickets. We're very excited to be part of this event. My dear friend Donna Clement is a part of this event as well, and we're looking very forward to seeing you there. So, one more thing, and we're out of the gate here tonight. Social media. We have many social media accounts that we are blessed to have. And so, if you'd like to follow us, we would love it if you could like and subscribe to these social media accounts. But we are Ark of Grace Ministries on Rumble, Ark of Grace Ministries on YouTube, Ark of Grace Ministry with a Y on Facebook, Ark of Grace 88 on Instagram, and at Amanda Grace _ AOG on X or Twitter, at Ark of Grace Ministries on TikTok, and the same on Telegram. So if you could go and subscribe, we would very much appreciate it. Also, our newsletter. With what is happening right now, the cray cray going on in the country, in the world, we want to be able to keep in touch with you. So we would love for you to be able to sign up for our newsletter. We also are going to start doing texting. So we're going to start texting you up to date information, parts of newsletters as well. So when you go to arkofgrace.org, you are going to see the button at the top that says, I believe it says newsletter sign up. So when you go to the top here, there it is, newsletter sign up, and you click that and it takes you there, and you put your first name, your last name, your email, and your phone number. And we are going to start, like I said, with the texting soon. We do the newsletter. We just sent one out. Our team just actually sent a beautiful newsletter out not long ago. So please fill it out so you can be part of our newsletter list. Okay. Woo! That's done. Praise God. All right. Now let's get into the main event of the evening. You know, I realized, and I said this to our team before we went live, I'm wearing the Lakers colors, the basketball team. So I don't know why that happened, but it just did. So for those of you who are Lakers fans, you're welcome. Okay. So let's talk about this prophetic mystery, shall we? The mystery of the two goats, and a warning to the nation, and this year, and an election year, okay? So what is this mystery of the two goats? Now, I'm going to unpack this for you, because we have to go back to the book of Leviticus, but we have to talk about Yom Kippur, because this is where this begins. And we're going to work up from there to now, and you're going to see this prophetic mystery unfold as we talk about it. So let's begin here. Yom Kippur, which is the holiest day of the year on the Jewish calendar, falls in late September, early October. So this is where the atonement and repentance for sins, right, happens in the Jewish faith. The 10 days of awe or repentance begin Rosh Hashanah, which is the Feast of Trumpets, and ends Yom Kippur. So basically there's 10 days between Rosh Hashanah and Yom Kippur. Now, the 10 days of repentance are seen as an opportunity for change. And since the extremes of complete righteousness and complete wickedness are few and far between, Rosh Hashanah functions for the majority of people as the, now listen to this, as the opening of a trial that extends until Yom Kippur. It is an unusual trial. Most trials are intended to determine responsibility for past deeds. This one, however, has an added dimension, determining what can be done about future deeds. The 10 days of repentance are crucial to the outcome of the trial, since our verdict is determined both by our attitude toward our misdeeds and by our attempts to rectify them by changing ourselves. That is from myjewishlearning.com explaining this 10 days of repentance. So when Rosh Hashanah begins, it's the opening of a trial. Isn't that interesting when we see so much of that happening right now? However, I want to focus on Yom Kippur. So the focus is going to be on Yom Kippur here. Now, in Leviticus 16, verse 5, it says, "And he shall take from the congregation of the children of Israel two kids of the goats as a sin offering and one ram as a burnt offering." Leviticus 16, verses 7 through 9. "He shall take the two goats and present them before the Lord at the door of the tabernacle of meeting. Then Aaron shall cast lots for the two goats, one lot for the Lord and one lot for the scapegoat. And Aaron shall bring the goat on which the Lord's lot fell and offer it as a sin offering." Verse 10, "But the goat on which the lot fell to be the scapegoat shall be presented alive before the Lord to make atonement upon it and to let it go as a scapegoat into the wilderness for the people." Now, Leviticus chapter 16, verses 15 through 19 says, "Then he shall kill the goat of the sin offering, which is for the people, bring its blood inside the veil, do with that blood as he did with the blood of the bull, and sprinkle it on the mercy seat and before the mercy seat. So he shall make atonement for the holy place because of the uncleanness of the children of Israel and because of their transgressions, for all their sins. And so he shall do for the tabernacle of meeting, which remains among them in the midst of their uncleanness." Verse 17, "There shall be no man in the tabernacle of meeting when he goes in to make atonement in the holy place until he comes out, that he may make atonement for himself, for his household, and for all the assembly of Israel. And he shall go out to the altar that is before the Lord and make atonement for it, and shall take some of the blood of the bull and some of the blood of the goat and put it on the horns of the altar all around. Then he shall sprinkle some of the blood on with his fingers seven times, cleanse it and consecrate it from the uncleanness of the children of Israel." Okay. So two kids of the goats are taken, two sons of goats. In God's word, it talks about the separation of the sheep from the goats. These are two sons of goats. They must be identical, the two kid goats that are taken. The high priest then reaches into an urn and pulls out two lots, and each lot had a different Hebrew word that was inscribed on it. The high priest then placed one lot on the head of the goat to his right and the other lot on the head of the goat to his left. One stone identified the goat that would die as the sacrifice for the sins of the people. The other stone identified the goat that would be let go into the wilderness. Before any sacrifice could occur, there had to be a presentation of the two kid goats before the people of Israel by the high priest, who was the high authority figure who represented God's law. So when the two kid goats were presented before the people, the determining of the lots occurred, which determined their fate. Now, we're going to lead up here. In the book of Esther, we see the casting of lots by Haman to determine the day of the Jews' destruction. And that day fell on the 13th of Adar. That lot fell on that day, being written and sealed with the king's mark, kind of like the mark being put on the goats that sealed their fate. And that edict was then sent out amongst the provinces that the Jews would be destroyed on that day. The king, who was King Ahasuerus, who represents the law of the land, right, was manipulated by Haman to do so, which means Haman was determining the fate of the Jews, right, the goats, when he was not in a position of authority before God to do so, which is a main reason you see this divine reversal happen. Because the lot was being put upon the head of a Jewish nation. It was not Yom Kippur. And Haman, according to Levitical law, had no authority to cast a lot that only the high priest or high authority figure could cast. Okay? So when Esther and Haman, just the two of them, go before the king, remember, she had two banquets after fasting for 3 days. She invites them to two banquets. They go before King Ahasuerus at this banquet, who represents the high authority figure, the law. So it was like, because Esther is representing Mordecai, keep this in mind. It was like two goats being presented by the high priest. One would die for the sins of the people and one would be let go. Esther's name originally was Hadassah, which means righteousness. Her name was changed to Esther, which means hidden. Hidden righteousness. Remember the fact she was a Jewish woman in a Persian court. It was hidden, the fact she was Jewish, from the king. So remember, Esther is representing Mordecai, okay, whom Haman wanted to hang on a gallows and destroy the Jewish people. So Mordecai actually means servant of Marduk, who was a Babylonian god, which is interesting, just to note, having to do with wisdom and victory. Haman's name means to rage or to be turbulent. Now, he was the favorite of Ahasuerus until he was rejected and was set to die. So you have righteousness and rage before King Ahasuerus, right? This is what their names mean. You have Mordecai, servant of the Most High God. You have Haman, servant of the Most High King, right? And he was from the line of Amalek, who Saul did not destroy when he was told to destroy. Esther represents Mordecai and the Jewish people. Now, you have those two going before the high authority figure. You have Haman, and you have Esther, who represents Mordecai and the Jewish people. Ultimately, the Jewish people were released and Haman died. Mordecai was released, right? The lot falls on Mordecai to be released and Haman dies. Okay, now before we get to what is currently happening, we have to go to the New Testament, because I'm just showing you a shadow of this in the Old Testament. But there is something in the New Testament that completely solidifies this. In the Gospels, we have to go to where Pilate presents Jesus, Yeshua, and Barabbas before the people during Passover. Because remember, Passover was occurring when Jesus was arrested. Now, John 18, verses 19 through 24 says, the high priest then asked Jesus about his disciples and his doctrine. Jesus answered him, I spoke openly to the world. I always taught in synagogues and in the temple where the Jews always meet. And in secret, I have said nothing. Why do you ask me? Ask those who have heard me what I said to them. Indeed, they know what I said. And when he had said these things, one of the officers who stood by struck Jesus with the palm of his hand, saying, do you answer the high priest like that? Jesus answered him, if I have spoken evil, bear witness of the evil. But if well, why do you strike me? Then Ananias, I think it's Ananias. No, it's Caiaphas. Then Caiaphas sent him bound to the high priest. Okay, so Caiaphas actually is the high priest. Jesus is sent bound to him. Okay. Now remember, the high priest back in Leviticus is the one who casts lots over the two kid goats. Just keep that in mind. The sons of goats, the two kids, and determines their fate. Matthew 27, verses 11 through 26. Now Jesus stood before the governor, and the governor asked him, saying, "Are you the king of the Jews?" Jesus said to him, "It is as you say." And while he was being accused by the chief priests and elders, he answered nothing. Then Pilate said to him, "Do you not hear how many things they testify against you?" But he answered him not one word, so that the governor marveled greatly. Verse 15, now at the feast, the governor was accustomed to releasing to the multitude one prisoner whom they wished. And at that time, they had a notorious prisoner called Barabbas. Therefore, when they had gathered together, Pilate said to them, "Who do you want me to release to you, Barabbas or Jesus, who is called Christ?" For he knew that they had handed him over because of envy. So the reason they were going after Jesus was sheerly out of envy. Verse 19, while he was sitting on the judgment seat, so Pilate sits on the judgment seat now, his wife said to him, saying, "Have nothing to do with that just man, for I have suffered many things today in a dream because of him." But the chief priests and elders persuaded the multitudes that they should ask for Barabbas and destroy Jesus. The governor answered and said to them, "Which of the two do you want me to release to you?" They said, "Barabbas." Pilate said to them, "What then shall I do with Jesus, who you call Christ?" They all said to him, "Let him be crucified." Then the governor said, "Why? What evil has he done?" But they cried out all the more, saying, "Let him be crucified." Verse 24, when Pilate saw that he could not prevail at all, but rather that a tumult was rising, he took water and washed his hands before the multitude, saying, "I am innocent of the blood of this just person. You see to it." It was the high priest that convinced the crowd. Okay, so keep in mind, this is the high priest that's convincing the crowd, and it's Pilate on the judgment seat. The high priest is the one that ultimately determines the lot. So Pilate sits in the seat of judgment and presents two sons that are identical in a way. Jesus and Barabbas. So Jesus, the Messiah, had to be one of the two lives that were presented before the people in order to be chosen as the sacrifice. And according to this mystery having to do with the two goats, the high priest and the people of Israel, the other life had to be let go. Verse 25, and all the people answered and said, "His blood be on us and on our children." Then he released Barabbas to them, and when he had scourged Jesus, he delivered him to be crucified. So what happens? The crowd yells, "Give us Barabbas," and they get all the more louder the more the high priest is stirring them up. You have Jesus and Barabbas presented before the people. You have Pilate in the seat of judgment because a trial has begun. And you have the high priest stirring up the people to say, "Give us Barabbas and crucify Jesus." So basically, Barabbas has the lot fall on him to be let go, and the lot to die for the sins of the people fell upon Jesus. Now, according to this ancient ceremony in Leviticus, the two goats or lives had to be identical in some way. Jesus, the Messiah, was the Son of God, or is the Son of God. He's the Son of the Father. Barabbas's name has an identical meaning. Remember, they have to be identical in a way. Two sons, identical, being presented before the people in a trial, and the high priest drawing the lots. Barabbas, so we have Jesus, Son of the Father. Barabbas, his name comes from two Hebrew words. First is Bar, B-A-R, which means son. And next, Abba, which means father, son of the father. Which means you have two sons of the father standing before the people, just like the two kid goats who are the sons of the father. So they had to be identical. So they're going forth now in this trial and in some way identical, presented before the people with Pilate in the judgment seat and the high priest stirring them, where you have two sons of the father. One lot falls on Jesus to die for the sins of the people. One lot falls on Barabbas to be set free. Passover begins the 10 days of repentance. Not Passover, I'm sorry. Rosh Hashanah begins the 10 days of repentance, which leads to Yom Kippur. So it's interesting because Jesus and Barabbas, this mystery of the two goats, was presented on Passover. So it was Passover when all of this was unfolding in the Gospels. However, in the Old Testament, in Leviticus, it was Yom Kippur. Now, how is it connected? Well, because Yom Kippur is the Day of Atonement, of atoning for sins. And Jesus had to atone for the sins of the people by the lot falling on him to die on the cross. So when the lots are pulled and cast, one lot falls to the right on one, and the other lot falls to the left on the other life. So you have two lives put on trial before the people. So keep this in mind. You have two lives put on trial before the people. They have to be identical in some way. In the case of Jesus and Barabbas, Jesus is the son of the father. Barabbas' name means son of the father. So there is the identical link there. You have to have someone sitting in the judgment seat. So the trial begins. You have two lives put on trial. You have one taking the seat of judgment. And you have these two lives presented before the people. Now, knowing this, let's look at today. So knowing all of this now, and knowing how this mystery unfolds, you can even see this with Cain and Abel. One died, the Lord took the seat of judgment, one died, but then the other was released. Right? So you can kind of see that almost even with Cain and Abel. You can definitely see it with Mordecai and Haman, and you can most definitely see it with Jesus and Barabbas. Now, keeping this in mind, we have to go to now what's happening, what we see unfolding in this nation, what has continued to unfold this year in an election year. So, you have Donald Trump, you have Joe Biden. Okay, those are the two we're going to focus on here. The meaning of their names. Donald means world ruler, and Trump actually means drum. Okay, so a world ruler drum basically is what the name means. If you go to Joe Biden, Joseph means he will add, and Biden means from the shadow valley. Now, when you look at their names on the surface, you don't really see any identical or any similarities. Where it comes in, because remember, it had to be two kid goats, the sons of the father, had to be the sons of the father. So let's look at Donald Trump's father. His name is Frederick Christ Trump. That was his full legal name. Frederick Christ Trump. Frederick means peaceful ruler. Christ is the Prince of Peace and means anointed one. Trump means drum. So basically, his full name means a peaceful ruler that is anointed. And basically, when you beat a drum, you make a loud sound. Drums make a lot of noise. If you look at Joe Biden's father, Joe Biden Sr., it means the same thing. He will add from the Shadow Valley, and the middle name happens to be Robinette, which we'll get into in a moment. But this is mentioned in Psalm 23. So Psalm 23, verses 4 through 5, even though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I fear no evil, for you are with me, your rod and your staff, they comfort me. You prepare a table before me in the presence of my enemies. You have anointed my head with oil, my cup overflows. Okay. Now, I'm just giving you a little background on their fathers, because there's a similarity here that we're going to talk about in a minute. But if we look at where the identicalness is, because there has to be an identicalness to understand the mystery of the two goats. Joe Biden's father, Joe Biden Sr., became involved in real estate. He was in the real estate business. Donald Trump's father was a real estate developer. So both their fathers were in the real estate business. Okay, so this is where the identicalness begins to come into play. So they're both in the real estate business. Now, between Donald Trump and Joe Biden, they have both each served one term as president. So they have both each served one term as president, and their fathers were both in the real estate business. So here is where you begin to see that identicalness or these similarities that you may have not seen initially unfold. Now, like I said, this mystery of the two goats has repeated through history. This is where the term scapegoat comes from. The word scapegoat comes from the fact that on Yom Kippur, the ancient Hebrews would sacrifice one goat for the Lord and lead another into the wilderness, bearing the sins of the people. The scapegoat is the one that bears the sins of the people. The ceremony is described in Leviticus, and basically the Hebrew phrase associated with this particular goat is Ez Ozel, meaning goat that departs. So basically, that's what it means for the goat that the lot falls on to be sent into the wilderness. It means goat that departs. This is where the modern term of scapegoat comes from, or the goat that escapes. So the extended sense of scapegoat that we see today came basically from this biblical use, came from the Yom Kippur ceremony that we have spoken about in Leviticus. So scapegoat literally means goat that departs or goat that escapes. So one bears the sins of the people and is let go, and the other one falls. So if we look at this in the context of what is happening now, there is not only an election going on, there is a trial. Remember, when Mordecai and Haman are presented before the king through Esther, that's a trial. A trial begins. When Jesus and Barabbas are presented before the people, when Pilate takes the judgment seat, a trial begins. When Rosh Hashanah happens, the Jews believe a 10-day trial begins to Yom Kippur. So this is not only an election year, but there's a trial going on as well. In fact, trial after trial at this point is going on. We have Donald Trump, who's on trial and in many ways being punished because of the people who voted for him. Okay, so you're dealing with punishing people in a nation for voting for a certain candidate to a certain degree. And you have Joseph Biden, whose sins have as well have stacked up, and what he has so corruptly done for decades with China, Ukraine, his son Hunter Biden. And it would appear almost he's getting away with it. But we have the mystery of the two goats, because those lots have to be cast. Those lots are about to be cast. See, you have the presentation of two that are similar or identical in a way. Both were presidents for one term. They both ran against each other for president in 2020 and now are doing the same in 2024. That means they are identical back-to-back election years. Both of their fathers were in real estate, and both Donald Trump and Joe Biden have had sons that were involved in trials this year. They both have sons that are involved in trials this year. So you have all of these identical features, right, that we're beginning to see emerge. All of these similar features. Now, their middle names. Joseph Biden's middle name is Robinette, which means famed, bright, or shining. Donald John Trump, John means God is gracious or God remembers. God is the giver of light. So there is in that name, Robinette, means bright or shining, and God is the giver of light. So there is a similarity as well, a connecting thread, even in their middle names. If you want to get into further, they're both also over 6 feet tall. So you have some very similar and identical features and characteristics between these two men that on the surface you would not think would be there. But when you take a closer look and examine, you actually see they have quite a bit of similar features or characteristics or similar things happening in their families. Now, these two goats were sin offerings for the sins of the nation. So back to Yom Kippur and the two goats for a minute. So these two goats had to do with the sins that happened in that nation, with the sins that happened in Israel. Now, I'm going to give you a couple of facts about goats, because this is going to help make more sense also. Goats are naturally curious. They have a natural curiosity to them. And they are very independent, and they can tend to get into more trouble than sheep. Hence the term scapegoat. So goats have a propensity to get in more trouble than sheep. And they are naturally curious and very independent. So those are just a couple facts there. Now, with the mystery of the two goats seeming to unfold in the year 2024, because this is what it looks like it's lining up to do, it means one will fall and one will be released. If this mystery is going to line up the way it has, biblically, with biblical precedents and through generations, one will fall and one will be released. Now, in this case, with this nation, because remember, when Jesus and Barabbas were put on trial, they were in Rome. Now, I want to paint the picture here for you. They were in Rome. Rome was one of the most wicked, sinful, barbaric empires that ever occurred in the earth. So Jesus and Barabbas, two sons of the Father, right? Because Jesus is the Son of the Father and Barabbas' name means Son of the Father, are put on trial with Pilate, who is corrupt, sitting in the seat of judgment. And as corrupt as Pilate was, he was trying to get Jesus freed. But you have Pilate, who is corrupt, in the seat of judgment. So you could say a corrupt judge. In Rome, which is a wicked, highly corrupted, pagan empire. And with them facing the people who were being incited and stirred up by the religious high authorities against one and not the other. Now, before we go on, I'm going to tell you something else. Another way Jesus and Barabbas were identical. Thank you, Lord. That gets looked over. Barabbas was in custody for insurrection. The charge against Barabbas was insurrection. He had killed a Roman soldier. He had incited a true insurrection. So the charge against Barabbas was that. The charge they were trying to pin Jesus with, to crucify him, was insurrection. It was the same charge. You have two sons of the Father facing the same charge with a corrupt judge in the judgment seat being presented before the people. Is this starting to make sense? This is the picture you have. They tried to make a faulty charge stick to Jesus, who had not committed an insurrection, but this is what the religious high priest came up with because they knew it was such a serious charge against the Roman authorities that the Roman authorities that would then maybe listen, because they're trying to make a bogus charge stick to Jesus of an insurrection that never happened. And then you have Barabbas, the other son of the Father, that actually killed a Roman soldier and committed insurrection by their own law. So this is another way that the mystery of the two goats unveils with Jesus and Barabbas. Now, you bring that to today. You have accusations. You have a trial. You have corrupt authorities in the seat of judgment. And you have charges of insurrection trying to be made to stick when all the criteria for an insurrection hadn't been met. So we are seeing the same thing in ways having to do with the mystery of the two goats unfold right now in this year before our very eyes. Now, in this case now with this nation is facing many, many sins, egregious ones that have been committed. And it has come to a point of a time of accountability, which is why we see this mystery of the two goats unfolding this year. Because it has come to the time of accountability. It has come to the time that the lots have to be drawn. And we're in a nation that has done egregious things against God. We are in a nation that has pushed and peddled pagan practices. We are in a nation where we see a lot of Babylonian things going on. We are in a nation where we see very wicked agendas that are totally oppose the things of God, trying to take control. We have a nation where the word insurrection has been used and thrown around for the past almost 4 years, where charges of insurrection were trying to be made to stick to those that maybe did not meet the criteria for such. And where we have corrupt authorities in the seat of judgment. And you have two men presented before the people that on the surface don't look identical, but when you start to dig, you see there are quite a bit of similarities between them. Now, there was something I had said within the past couple of weeks, that 2024 was the year of Joshua 24, is the year of Joshua 24. Choose this day whom you will serve. Choose this day whom you will serve. Choose. What is your lot that you are casting? The nation is facing a choice. Serve the Lord, submit to his will, his way, and leaders he chooses for his purposes. Or chase the false gods and the pagan ways of the Canaanites, the Hittites, and the Amalekites. Because that was the choice Joshua, in his older age, presented before the people in Joshua 24. Joshua 2024 is the year of Joshua 24. And he presents them these two opposing paths and says, choose this day whom you will serve. But as for me and my house, we will serve the Lord. So what choice we make as a nation will depend then on the lot that will be cast upon us. Now, to add to this, 2024 on the Jewish calendar is the year 5784. The year 5784 translates to the prison doors opening to Joseph. That's what it translates to. Now, there is a tie here. Because this year and its meaning ties to the mystery of the two goats in this election as well. So this year of 5784 and the meaning of the prison doors being opened to Joseph has a link that connects it to the mystery of the two goats in this election year. Now, in Genesis 40, now this is interesting that the chapter number was 40, it rained 40 days and nights on the earth because of the judgment that was set forth by God for the wickedness of man on a very corrupted earth. Because the earth was filled with Hamas, which means violence in Hebrew. So this is in Genesis 40, right? So just keep that in mind. Also, I had spoken of the rise of the spirit of Pharaoh within the past couple of weeks as well. And this chapter ties all of that together. So Genesis 40 is the chapter that has to do with Joseph. But it's interesting that early on in Genesis, it rained 40 days and 40 nights. There's the number 40 again, because the earth was filled with Hamas, with violence. But let's go back to Genesis 40, because it ties the spirit of Pharaoh. It ties violence. It ties the two goats, the sins of the nation. It ties it all together. So Genesis 40, I'm going to read it to you, the whole chapter. I think it's only about 20 or so verses. Now, sometime later, the cupbearer and the baker for the king of Egypt offended their lord, Egypt's king. Pharaoh was extremely angry with his two officials, the chief of the cupbearers and the chief of the bakers. So you have the chiefs, like commander in chief. You have the chief of the cupbearers. You have the chief of the bakers. He put them in confinement in the house of the captain of the guard in the same prison where Joseph was confined. The captain of the guard put Joseph in charge of them, and he served them, and they continued to be in custody for some time. Then the cupbearer and the baker of the king of Egypt, who were confined in the prison, both dreamed a dream in the same night. Each man with his own significant dream, and each dream with its personal interpretation. Verse 6, when Joseph came to them in the morning and looked at them, he saw that they were sad and depressed. So he asked Pharaoh's officials who were in confinement with him in his master's house, "Why do you look so downhearted today?" And they said to him, "We have each dreamed distinct dreams, and there is no one to interpret them." So Joseph said to them, "Do not interpretations belong to God? Please tell me your dream." Verse 9, so the chief cupbearer told his dream to Joseph and said to him, "In my dream, there was a grapevine in front of me, and on the vine were three branches of government, right, in our nation, but three branches. Then as soon as it budded, its blossoms burst open, and its clusters produced ripe grapes. Now Pharaoh's cup was in my hand, and I took the grapes and squeezed them into Pharaoh's cup. Then I placed the cup into Pharaoh's hand." Then Joseph said to him, "This is the interpretation of it. The three branches represent 3 days. Within three more days, Pharaoh will lift up your head," which means present you in public, "and restore you to your position. And you will again put Pharaoh's cup into his hand, just as you did when you were his cupbearer. Only think of me when it goes well with you, and please show me kindness by mentioning me to Pharaoh and get me out of this house. For in fact, I was taken from the land of the Hebrews by unlawful force, and even here I have done nothing for which they should put me in the dungeon." Now remember, Joseph was in the prison because he was falsely accused by Potiphar's wife of assaulting her. He was in the room with her. He never touched her. She made the advance on him. He refused the advance because she operated in these types of seducing spirits. Because he refused her advances, she lied and accused him of assault instead. And Joseph ended up in the prison. Now, verse 16, when the chief baker saw that the interpretation of the dream was good, he said to Joseph, "I also dreamed. And in my dream, there were three cake baskets on my head. And in the top baskets, there were some of all sorts of baked food for Pharaoh. But the birds of prey were eating these foods out of the basket on my head." Joseph answered, "This is the interpretation of it. The three baskets represent 3 days. Within three more days, Pharaoh will lift up your head and will hang you on a gallows." Will hang you on a tree. Will hang you on a gallows. Haman was brought in public. He was presented before King Ahasuerus with Esther, who represented Mordecai and the Jewish people. Remember, he was hung on the gallows. The lot fell on Mordecai and the Jewish people to be released. Okay. And then Joseph told him the birds would eat his flesh on top of it. This was the interpretation. Verse 20, now on the third day, which was the Pharaoh's birthday, he released the two men from prison and made a feast for all his servants. And he lifted up the head of the chief cupbearer and the head of the chief baker, meaning presented them in public, among his servants. He restored the chief cupbearer to his office, and the cupbearer once again put the cup into Pharaoh's hand. But Pharaoh hanged the chief baker, just as Joseph had interpreted to them. Yet the chief cupbearer did not remember Joseph, but forgot all about him for about 2 years. And then Pharaoh has a dream, and we all know what happens from there. So, in Genesis 40, we see the same thing. They both worked for Pharaoh, the cupbearer and the baker. Both worked for Pharaoh. Both had a dream interpreted by Joseph. Both were in prison for upsetting Pharaoh. identical. So this ties as well to the mystery of the two goats and Joseph and the prison doors being open to him ties to the year we're in, 5784. And before the prison doors were open to Joseph, he had to interpret these two dreams with these two men, and two separate lots fell, one on the cupbearer and one on the baker. So from prison, they're both brought before Pharaoh. One official fell, because remember, chief baker, chief cupbearer, think commander in chief. One fell, one was let go and released. So bringing it back to this year now, because 5784 ties to the prison doors being opened to Joseph, ties to Genesis 40, which ties to the mystery of the two goats, when we see it once again happen to the cupbearer and the baker, with Joseph being involved and Pharaoh sitting at the seat of judgment. Pharaoh was corrupted. Pilate was corrupted. Who we see now sitting in the seat of judgment is corrupted. So lots are set to be cast. This mystery of the two goats is unfolding this year, and lots are set to be cast. And I will tell you, the month of June is not only a serious month to watch right now, and I've been warning, I have been sounding the alarm for months and months and months about June. June is known as Pride Month. Pride cometh before destruction and a haughty spirit before a big fall. Do you know the past two Junes, Joe Biden has fallen? In a month filled with pride, he fell. Twice. One off his bike at Rehoboth Beach, and last year he fell on stage. Both in June, both in Pride Month. So June is not only a very serious month to watch right now, because that's where that 50-day window ends also, between Passover and Shavuot, where the Jews received the law at Mount Sinai. That is a 50-day period. That ends about June 11th. So June is a very serious month to watch right now. But the time between the time between Rosh Hashanah and Yom Kippur, I'm talking about so many Jewish holidays here. The time between Rosh Hashanah and Yom Kippur 2024, known as the 10 days of awe, when the trial begins. When Rosh Hashanah happens, a trial begins. That 10-day window is probably one of the most crucial windows we will have all year, having to do with national leadership and those contending, and not only in the United States, but other nations as well as Israel. That is going to be one of the most serious, potent windows, because it's a 10-day window, but boy, is it going to pack a punch because of this mystery of the two goats, and because of the election year. And because this is the year 5784 of the prison doors opening to Joseph. For all of these reasons, that 10-day trial, that time period, is going to be another one to watch that is going to pack a punch. And we have seen this mystery of the two goats unfold throughout history. And we've watched it happen. And we've watched it happen in biblical precedent multiple times now. We've talked about it. We've talked about it in the book of Esther. We talked about it when it came to Joseph and the baker and the cupbearer. And we talked about it with Jesus and Barabbas, which is the most serious one, where two men are presented in a very, very sinful nation before the people, both sons of the father, both accused of insurrection. One did it, one didn't do it. with a corrupt official sitting in the seat of judgment and corrupted religious leaders stirring the people to ask for Barabbas, who really did commit murder in an insurrection where Jesus didn't, but they were accusing him of an insurrection he didn't commit. This is no accident. All of this is unfolding the way it is. And we really need to pray because we need who the Lord wants to lead this nation to lead. The Lord allowed Joe Biden to win in 2020. He allowed it. He allowed it. And now we have come to the time of accountability where the nation has Joshua 24, that decision to make. Choose this day whom you will serve. We have that choice. Because those prison doors will open if we choose Almighty God. And the mystery of the two goats will continue to happen and come to pass and will continue to unfold in this nation. Both have been presented in public. Both of their heads have been lifted up in public. One will fall and one will be released. And it has to do with the sins of the people of this nation and what is happening and why we need rectification and repentance, turning back to Almighty God in his ways in order for that prison door to open and for us to be set free. And for certain individuals being accused to be released. You have two lots, and you have two similar goats presented. And the lots are drawn. The lots are about to be drawn. The lots are about to be drawn. You know, when the Lord talks about in his word, separating the sheep from the goats. The lots are about to be drawn. Those goats represent a very sinful Israel. They represent a United States that, even though a covenant was made, has committed some egregious things against that covenant. And this is all converging, all of it. 5784, Joseph, Genesis 40, the mystery of the two goats, the insurrection. This is all converging on the same year this year. Joshua 24, it's all converging and meeting at the middle. America has to choose God. God then will choose the leader. America has to choose Almighty God first and foremost, and he in turn will choose the proper leader. But if leaders want to be released as Joseph was, if they want the lot to fall on them that they're released, they have to humble themselves right now before Almighty God in all sincerity, putting everything they have at the altar of God and fully giving their life and what they have over to him. That's what this is about. Right there. Because one's going to fall and one's going to be released. And this mystery will unfold and continue to before our very eyes this year. So be in prayer about this, because I have a feeling there's going to be a part two on this mystery, perhaps, as we see these things unfold. So be in prayer, test the spirit. We are going to put these notes up on the blog. But this mystery is unfolding before our very eyes, and the lots are being cast. And we need to, as the church, as the body of Christ, be crying out to God because of these lots. You know, it's interesting because Purim, this year, 2024, began a 39-day window between Purim and Passover where the full eclipse was smack in the middle of it. And it is Purim where Haman illegally, in the realm of the spirit, cast lots to try to make a lot of destruction fall on the Jewish nation. And where he, from the line of the Malachites, would be released. And that's why there was a divine reversal. Because the lot to be released then fell on the Jews, and the lot to fall and be destroyed fell on Haman. That's why there had to be a divine reversal, because the enemy was attempting a reverse Yom Kippur in the book of Esther. A reverse Yom Kippur the enemy was attempting, where Haman would be released and the line of the Amalekites would be released from the Lord blotting them out, and the Jews, the lot would fall on them to be destroyed. So the Lord reversed it and put it back in the proper order of the mystery of the two goats with Yom Kippur. That is what happened. So keep that in mind as we go forth. Keep that in mind. Because when you hold up this word, you need to understand what's in this word and how powerful this word is, and the mysteries that are contained in this book that unfold through the generations, because the word of God is living and active. It is current for every generation. And this mystery is now unfolding this year. Oh, praise the Lord. I felt that. Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. I think this is where I'm going to end right now. But we probably, maybe, will see, end up doing a part two from this as we see these things unfold. Because this is a lot to unpack. It's a whole lot to unpack. So we've unpacked as much as we can thus far. So pray about it. Be watchmen and watch women, and we will see as this mystery unfolds to revisit it. So we're about an hour and 13 minutes right now, so I think this is where we are going to end. I'm just going to put two things up really quick here. MyPillow, we're going to put up MyPillow. We want to be a blessing to Mike Lindell. Here's Duchess. She truly is a pig in a blanket. She is on her MyPillow dog bed. You could go to MyPillow.com and use promo code ARC to save up to 66% or sometimes more off of all MyPillow products. They are so much more than just pillows. They have dog beds. They have sheets. They have robes. They have amazing slippers. So they make amazing gifts as well. The dog beds are incredibly durable and they are washable. So you can go to MyPillow.com and use promo code ARC today. And we'll put up Andrew Sorcini. If you are considering investing in precious metals or having a gold-backed IRA, Andrew Sorcini of Beverly Hills Precious Metals and his team can absolutely help you out with that. They love hearing from our Ark of Grace family. So if you are interested in purchasing precious metals or rolling over IRAs, you can call the number on the screen. You can email Andrew at bh-pm.com, or you could go to bh-pm.com. or arcofgrace.org/ministry-partners, and you can tell them Amanda Grace or Ark of Grace sent you. Okay, praise the Lord. I think that's all for tonight. I'm going to pray about whether I'm going to come on tomorrow. If not, we will be releasing shorts the rest of the week. We see many of you love the shorts and the short videos, so we've begun doing more of those as well. So thank you, everyone, for joining us tonight. God bless you. Keep the faith. Armor up according to Ephesians chapter 6. Psalm 91, I say it every single day. I encourage you to say it every single day. The word is living and active. We have to activate it. Death and life are in the power of the tongue. Also, there are other psalms on the screen as well that are wonderful to speak, wonderful to increase your faith and to memorize as well, because the word is our sword and we need to swing our sword in order for our sword to be effective. Also, Psalm 51, created me a clean heart, O God, that I say all the time. In fact, almost every time before I go on a broadcast, I take communion and I speak that psalm. So I encourage you to do the same. Ephesians chapters 1, 3, and 6. Also, chapters 1 and 3 from the Believer's Authority. There are scriptures I quote every single day from the Believer's Authority that are in Ephesians chapter 1 and 3. I will get the exact, I have the scriptures memorized, but I will get the exact chapter and number for you, and we will put it up as well in future broadcasts. And the Lord's Prayer. Jesus taught his disciples to pray this way. There is an important order to that prayer that should most definitely be a part of our prayer life. So we always like to encourage you and end with the word. We start with the word, we end with the word. We just like to hedge it that way the entire broadcast. Thank you everyone for joining us tonight. Have a wonderful rest of your evening. We will announce when we're coming back on. We love you. Keep the faith. Hello everyone, Amanda Grace here. So as many of you know, Dr. Mark Sherwood and Dr. Michelle Sherwood of the Functional Medical Institute are mine and Chris's doctors. And so I went to Dr. Sherwood with a problem that I was seeing, not only with what I was going through, but with what other women were going through concerning their metabolism, concerning energy, concerning their hormones. And so we put our heads together and we are very happy now to finally be able to present to you Rapha for women. Rapha means healer in Hebrew, so it is an ode to the Lord because he is our healer. He put things in the earth that help heal us. And so Rapha is a product that was created for that. It also helps by helping with a healthy metabolism and natural hormones, as well as it helps balance fatigue. It helps with weight gain, night sweats, mood swings, blood sugar issues, and more. It is all natural, and I find more and more people are going into the natural arena in order to find solutions to issues that they're going through. So if you'd like to learn more, you can go to www.arcofgrace.org/ministry-partners to learn more about Rapha today. God bless. Hey everyone, Amanda Grace here. If you are looking for advice on financial matters, if you think gold and silver might be right for you, go to bh-pm.com today. Andrew Sorcini of Beverly Hills Precious Metals, who has been on Ark of Grace many times and loves to answer our viewer questions, is here with his team to answer all of your gold and silver needs. Whether you want to buy gold and silver, whether you have questions to see if it's right for you, whether you are looking to roll over retirement accounts, go to bh-pm.com today and Andrew and his team will be more than happy to assist you with all of your needs. If you want to support an amazing patriot and be a blessing, go to MyPillow.com today and use promo code ARK, A-R-K, to save up to 66% or more off of all MyPillow products. They have pillows, of course, but they are so much more than pillows. They have sheets, they have slippers, they have bathrobes, they even have dog beds. And a fun fact for all of you, Noble, one of our pigs at our animal sanctuary, has indeed slept on a MyPillow dog bed. So if you want to be a blessing, you can go to MyPillow.com today and use promo code ARK.